Thank you for that special. That was a blessing, challenging message in that song there. I'll fix that later. Well, I'm excited to have this opportunity to preach. And you know they're really scraping the bottom of the barrel when they ask me to preach. So, but I'm excited to be here, and I intend to be a blessing and an encouragement. I have spent much time preparing, and it's my desire to be an encouragement to all of us tonight. You know, I'm so thankful for our church family. Me and my wife, we love our church, and they're very thankful for all of you that make up the church, and thankful for the people, and you guys have been such a tremendous blessing, encouragement to me, and I respect many of you, and I'm so thankful for you. I want to be an encouragement tonight, like I said, and I want to share a truth and a principle for us to live by that is very familiar, I am sure, and I'm sure we have heard a sermon along this topic. And I don't know about you, a lot of times I struggle is with the basic things, the foundational things. You know, I always need to get back to the basics and fix that, and a lot of times everything else in my life really falls into place. And the topic tonight, talking about giving our best, is something that I believe is very familiar, very practical, but I believe it's very biblical, a biblical principle that we ought to live by, and we're going to look at that tonight. In your handouts, you can follow along there. I believe we have our passage there for tonight. Colossians 3, 22 through 23, the Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." And let's go ahead and pray real fast. Lord, we love you. Lord, I do thank you so much for our church. Thank you for our church family, for their faithfulness. And God, so often, every church service, I'll see familiar faces and people that have been here as long as I've been here, and have been here longer than I've been here. And Lord, I'm so thankful for them, the encouragement they are to me, to my wife, all that they've done for us, and all that they do for you. And Lord, I pray that you bless them. God, I pray that the things that I say tonight, Lord, would be an encouragement, would be a blessing to them. God, give me clarity of mind. Give me clarity of speech. Give us clarity. Give us direction. Lord, as we look at something that I'm sure we have all heard before, but God, may we hit a reset button. May we examine our life. May we take a self-evaluation and see and learn and see how we can give our best in different areas of our life, Lord. Be with us now. In your name we pray. Amen. The topic tonight, like I said, talking about giving our best, really is something that is a passion of mine, and I say that not to say that I'm a good example of someone that gives their best in different areas of life, but it is something that I'm very passionate about, and I believe we ought to give our best, and I want us to look at that tonight. Yeah. You know, if I believe we would agree that anyone that made a difference in this world had to give their best. We would agree that people are motivated by a cause, and the worth of that cause oftentimes is the determining factor if they will give their best. You know, we can think of a lot of different causes that people get motivated, different things that people will give their best for. And, you know, some of them may be a little delusional or maybe a little misguided. But as Christians, obviously, we have the greatest cause that we live for and that we ought to be motivated for. You know, as I was thinking about this and as I was studying it, I was thinking, you know, what motivates people to give their best? You know, I'm a fan of sports. I love football. I love basketball. I love any type of competition, really. Not to say that I'm good at any of them. You know, I think any guy likes a good competition. And, you know, that's why we like sports. You know, I like football. I don't really get into all the philosophy and the political stuff that they get into. And I just wish they would play football sometimes. You know, I like to listen to commentating. And like, man, just talk about the game, you know. Don't talk about the drama and all that stuff. But I get into sports and I like it. And, you know, a lot of times these guys, man, they're so motivated. You know, I don't know, in years past, maybe in the summertime, they would take a break or whatever. But, you know, they're training all the time. And you hear them in interviews how passionate, how motivated they are for this sport. And, you know, sometimes I take a step back and I think about, man, it's just a game. You know, and they're giving their life to this. And, you know, after 45, you know, it's all over. You know, but I was thinking about what motivates people to give their best. I believe you have some blanks there on your handout. Number one, And I believe there's more, but just a couple, just kind of slim it down here. Number one, reputation. Reputation. What is reputation? You know, what people will think. What is reputation in regards to people giving their best? What people will think of their efforts in relation to who they are. We think of athletes. We think of people that are considered the pros, the ones that are the best. You know, sometimes they may be motivated to continue to give their best, because if they don't get their best, it really ruins their reputation. And you know, I'm guilty of this as well. A lot of times if my name is on something, if I'm responsible for something, man, I am motivated to give my best. And I think that motivation may be a little misguided, because it's all about me. It's my reputation. It's my name on the line. But we'll see down the line in a little bit that we ought to be motivated and we ought to give our best because God asked for our best. But maybe it's reputation. Maybe we give our best because our name is on the line. It's our reputation at stake. Number two, Pastor had often mentioned these last two here. People are motivated for fear of loss. They're afraid to lose something, whether it's their job. You know, they're motivated to wake up, be at work, hopefully on time, get there on time. Why? Because they don't want to lose their job. They're motivated because they don't want to fail. They're motivated because of fear of losing something. Fear of loss. That's the blank there. Fear of loss. Number three, what motivates people? Hope of gain. Hope of gain. Accomplishing a goal. You know, before we were married, me and my wife, we were very motivated. You know, when my father-in-law would let us go out on dates, I was very motivated to, you know, find extra errands so that way, you know, we could extend that date time, you know. But now that we're married, you know, we're at home. And, you know, I don't like staying up late anyways. So, you know, but you understand the point. You know, you're motivated because you're trying to win someone's heart or whatever it may be. You're motivated to gain something, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's a privilege. Hope of gain. What motivates people? The reputation, fear of loss, hope of gain. Okay? And on this topic, I would like for us to look briefly at some examples of people in the Bible who gave their best, that were motivated to give their best. You know, oftentimes, I'm guilty of this as well. A lot of times when we think of Bible characters, we often think of them as, you know, superhuman or superheroes. Like, man, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, Peter, these people that we're going to look at in a moment here. You know, and I fail to remember that these people are just like me. And people are just like you. They had the same desires. They had the same struggles as we do. And as we look at their example, don't feel a disconnect. They're like, man, I can never do that. We need to understand that these people were people just like we were. And we can look at their examples and be challenged by them, okay? So examples of people giving their best, motivated to give their best. Number one, Abraham. You see a little bullet point there. He yielded his most valuable resource to God, his only son. He was motivated to hold nothing back. Number two, Joshua. He obeyed thoroughly the commands of his godly leader. We could look at Joshua 11:15. The Bible says, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses. We could look at Numbers 32:12, mentions how Joshua wholly followed the Lord. Joshua was motivated to give his best by being thorough and obedient. Next here, we could see the life of Joseph. He diligently supervised the resources delegated to him by his heathen master. You know, we could think about that. You know, just his whole situation. We know the whole backstory, how he got there, what his brothers did to him. He was not there, I'm sure, by his choice. Later on in the story, he mentioned how God meant it for good. And we could see how he was a good steward amidst situations and circumstances that we would not see as favorable. Yet he was motivated to be a good steward of the resources that were delegated to him. And may we ourselves look at our own lives and think about the resources that God has given to us. I know a lot of times when we think about stewardship, we think about finances. But God has given us many resources, whether it's this building, whether it's, you know, our family, whether it's our home, whether it's our vehicles. And I hope that we are good stewards of the things that God has entrusted to us as a steward. You know, if we have a Sunday school class, or, you know, if we have something, we use the church building. I hope we're a good steward of the psalm books, you know, the classrooms, the chairs. I hope we clean up after ourselves. I hope we're a good steward. What does the Bible say? He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in much. Okay, so if we're faithful in those little things, I believe God sees that and he will bless us with more. And we see that in the life of Joseph, how he was motivated to be a good steward of everything that was delegated to him, all resources. Number four, we can look at the life of Daniel, how he maintained a spirit of excellence amidst all unfavorable circumstances, kind of similar to the life of Joseph. We could look at number five, we could look at the life of Paul, how he willingly offered his life and time to those who would return nothing or could do nothing for him. We can see in 2 Corinthians 12:15, the Bible says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." And as we look at these lives and these people that were motivated to give their best through different areas and different aspects of their life, may we look at our own life and allow the Lord to work in our heart and show us where we need to give our best. And lastly, we can look at our example, probably the best example of who gave their best. We know Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his life as a ransom for all. He gave his best. And in so many different areas of the life of Christ, we can look at his life and see how we ought to pattern and how we ought to align our life with how he lived his life. And we can see that he gave his best by sacrificing his life as a ransom for all. Okay, so we see examples of those that gave their best. And next, I want us to look at examples of people that did not give their best. Okay, examples of not giving their best. Number one, Cain. We can look at the life of Cain, how he offered what he believed to be his best, but on his terms. Isn't that how we are sometimes? I know that's how I am. You know, sometimes I want to do things, and you know, things that I think are, man, I'm doing my best, but it's according to my terms. And then when I look at God's word, man, it challenges me and convicts me, and it tells me that's not how God wants it done. You know, we see how Cain, he offered what he believed to be his best on his terms, and what was the end result? He became jealous and hateful toward his righteous brother. We could look at the life of King Saul. That's number two there on your handout. How he withheld the spoil of the Amalekites and did not fully obey God's command. And we see the end result. He lost his royal privileges and favor with God. Number three, we could look at the servant, just for short name here, the one talent servant. The servant given one talent. We know that parable. He was too fearful to use and multiply his talent. And we see the result. He was rejected and received no reward. You know, I'm so thankful for our church. In one aspect is that so many of us bring different gifts and different abilities to the table. And I always appreciated that about a church. And the church is often related to a family and how every family is a little different. And every family member is wired a different way. And I grew up in a bigger family. And it's interesting. And it's always enjoyable for me seeing how each family member has a different personality. They have different gifts, different abilities, different talents. And we have that in the church as well. And I'm thankful and I'm so blessed and encouraged to be part of a church where there's people that are gifted in so many different areas. And I'm so thankful that you guys bring it to the table and you allow it to be used. And, you know, I don't know, but maybe there is a talent that you have, something that you're very good at and you're not using it for the Lord. And I would challenge you with the life of this one talent servant, man, bring it to the table. See how you can use it in our church. I'm thankful for my wife. She plays piano. She does a great job. And I'm thankful that she uses that talent. You know, I can think of others that have gifts and abilities, whether they're good at communicating, whether they're just comforters, you know, whether they're givers, people that are just generous, people that love to give to people financially, people that love to give their time to people, love to counsel people, love to help people. All of us have something that we're good at. And if we're not doing anything in our church, I would ask that you would think about, man, what am I good at, and how can I plug that into our church so that our church can go forward? We could look at the servant and how he did not use his talent. He withheld it. He was fearful to use, to multiply it. He did not want to give his best, and he was rejected, and he received no reward. And lastly, we can look at the rich ruler. He was willing to, was only willing to give a portion of his abundant resources. And what's the end result? He walked away sorrowful because he was in bondage to his prosperity. What does the Bible say in 2 Timothy 2:4? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, there's a lot of good things that you can't look in the Bible and say, man, that's sin, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And we would never say there's something wrong or sinful about it, but man, it just entangles our life. And things that tie us down and don't allow us to do things for the Lord. And I would hope that we would examine our life and evaluate our life. What is there anything in my life that is holding me back from serving the Lord? You know, we often think of that illustration of the monkey that puts his hand through the wire fence there, and he grabs a banana and he tries to pull it back, and he can't. He's in bondage, because if he holds on to that banana, he's not going to get freedom, and he's not going to be able to, you know, release and get out of that cage. You know, what is it that we hold on to? And, you know, I think all of us know what it is for ourselves, what we struggle with. I know what it is for me. And we constantly have to be fighting it and constantly have to be dying to our flesh. We're not willing to give our best. We're not willing to give that up. Okay, so we've seen examples of those who did not give their best. And I believe that through these stories of those that gave their best and those that did not give their best, that we can easily answer the question, does God want our best? And we see a verse there on our handout, 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. I like how it starts off here. It says, what? You know, I don't know if Paul had that expression, but it's like, what? Like surprise. Like, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's like, man, it's a no-brainer. Don't you know this? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, if you're saved, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, key word here, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. That word glorify is very interesting. Definition is to magnify, to make great or greater. Something greater. That shirt right there, okay? To magnify, to make great or greater. God is basically saying in this verse, because you belong to me, I desire to be magnified through your body and life. And man, that's convicting, especially for me. You know, is God being magnified through my life? The things that I do, the things that I say, the way I deal with people, my relations. Is God being magnified, or am I motivated to give my best so that something else is being magnified? My reputation, fear of losing something, fear of gaining some, hope of gaining something. Okay, so we've seen examples. We understand that God wants our best. Now let's look very practically at areas of how to give our best. And we're doing good on time here, and I'm probably going to get us out early, and I'm sure no one's going to hate me for that. So let's go ahead and get into these points here. Very practical, very familiar. And I believe we're familiar with these points, and I think as we enter into this, may we not, and we've heard that a million times, you know, we could just kind of shut it off. But I hope that we kind of step back, self-evaluate our life. I know these things are things that I constantly need to be working at. And what did Paul say? Put you in remembrance. He constantly had to be reminding the people of God of certain things that they were forgetting. And I'm not saying that any of us are forgetting these things, but may we be reminded of the importance of giving our best in these areas of our life. Number one, okay, our relationship with God. Our relationship with God. So important. Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Now, I don't know about you, when you study, you know, I know when I was in college, sometimes I was guilty of, you know, just studying, kind of like just looking through certain stuff. Jed was so good at this. In college, Jed could look at a study sheet And, you know, 5 minutes before class, just look at it, and he'd get 100%, 95 sometimes. I remember Brother Jeremy gave us a quiz, and I forget what that class was called, some history class in Bible college. And he gave us a challenge. No one was going to get 100% in that class. Man, I studied that thing. I memorized it. And Brother Jeremy, I got 100%. And, you know, I think we had to memorize the presidents and stuff like that. I studied. I put time. It was diligent, hard work, okay? What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved, but to who? Unto God. A workman. It's work. It's going to take work. That needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, as we enter into God's word, I hope that we study it. I hope we put time in. I hope we put work into God's word. And I don't know about you, but the more time I spend in God's word, the more wonderful it becomes to me. And the more alive it becomes to me. And we need to study it. We need to spend time. We need to work. It's work. Mark 12:30, the Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." Psalms 119:2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Giving their best, giving everything. Okay, our relationship with God, so vital, so important, so foundational. Number two, fill in your blank there if you like, our ministry. So we saw our relationship to God. And I think we can, as we mentioned our ministry, we would relate that to our relationship to others. Our ministry is often working with people and helping people grow spiritually through different avenues, whatever it may be, your ministry. Ephesians 6:6-7, probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says, "Not with eye service," thinking about our ministry, our relationship to others, "not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not unto men." We do our best. We're motivated to give our best in our ministries, I hope, because we love the Lord. And we're not trying to get the applause of men. And we're not doing it for eye service. And we're not trying to please men. We're doing it because we love the Lord. We're doing it with our heart, with all of our heart. I hope we have a sincere desire to give our best in our ministries so that the Lord is magnified. And I don't think we have this mentality here where it's like, oh, you know, another Sunday, another day on the route, you know, I'll get through, I'll do my couple songs, you know, whatever it may be, my Sunday school class. Man, I hope we put our heart into it. Man, I love my Sunday school class. I'm so thankful. You know, I don't really think I'm a people's person, and I don't think I'm, you know, very outgoing, and I don't know, something about our class, I just love being in there. I love being around people. I don't know if I'm very good at it. I enjoy being in there, but I want to give my best for the Lord and for those people. My relationship to them, man, I want to put my heart into it. And it's not to say that I do that every Sunday. You know, I need to work at it, okay? And but I want to give my best. And I want to do my best. And I hope as we look at our ministries, we want to give our best so that the Lord is magnified through our life and through our ministry. We see our relationship to God, our ministry, our relationship to others. Number three, our family. Our family. We could look at Ephesians, my wife's life verse here, Ephesians 5:25. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." I'm just kidding. I don't know if that's her life verse. Probably is. Okay. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You know, it's so funny to me. People need new translations of the Bible. That's pretty cut and dry for me. That's pretty simple for me to understand. Okay. Ephesians 5:22. "Wives," this is my life verse right here. No, I'm just kidding. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." You know, if we were to look at it, God gives each one of the family members their one word, command or role. Husbands, you have a blank there. Love, husbands love. Wives, submit. Children, obey. Amen. Husbands, love. Wives, submit. Children, obey. And each one of those roles, each one of those commands, one's not better than the other. It's just God has given us different roles, different responsibilities. And we would be wise to fit ourselves, to align our life within that role, within that responsibility that God has given us, because it's his word. And he wants us to do these things because it's for our benefit. And he gets magnified out of it. Our family, so important. Lastly here, our job. I know these are so practical. Our job, our occupation. Colossians 3:22 through 23, the Bible says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." We opened up with this verse. Let's continue on here. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." It's interesting that the word singleness is used there. What does that mean there? State of one. It's singular, undivided. It's one. Singleness of heart. Oftentimes when the heart is talked about, it's often talked about a motivator or a passion, a desire that someone has. So we have an undivided, we have a singular passion, desire, motive. And then we can see it's defined right there, right after the comma. What is it? Fearing God. So our undivided, our singular motivation, passion ought to be, as we look at serving our masters, is to fear God. And next here, what does the Bible say? "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." And a lot of times, we think of what's, you know, we think of that whatsoever. We don't often think about our occupation. And you know what? I have the privilege of working here at the church. I love working at the church. Man, it's the greatest thing ever. You know, when I worked a secular job, and I'm so thankful for those of you that work secular jobs, that's so important, that's so vital for the church. But when I myself worked in a secular job, man, it was a little hard to get motivated to go to work sometimes. You know, working at a warehouse, you know, different jobs that I would have, you know, it's not very motivating, you know, to pack batteries and to ship things. Like, man, what did I accomplish in life? I packed 600 batteries. Wow. You know, really making a difference for the cause of Christ. And, you know, that's just me. That's, you know, it was hard for me to get motivated to do that. Obviously, if we were thinking of the big picture, obviously we do that to get finances so that we can be good stewards of that finances to help our church, help our family. And I'm not belittling that at all. But you know, it's hard for me. And oftentimes what I would do when I would go to work, I would think of this verse, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily." Man, I would so often remind myself, man, whatever I do, I want to put my heart into it. Whether it's a secular job, whether it's here working at the church, whether it's whatever it may be, whatever job you do, man, if you're, you know, a construction worker, a plumber, whatever it may be, man, I hope that you have a desire to put your heart into it. Not that you get magnified, that God gets magnified. And Pastor often mentions, man, Christians ought to be the hardest workers. Christians ought to be the ones that are setting the example at our job. And I hope we're challenged to do that. And I'm thankful for the people, the workforce that we have here at our church. You know, thinking about jobs and occupations, I'm so thankful that my dad taught me and gave me opportunities to work hard and pushed me to give my best when I worked. I remember when I was young, I can't remember the exact age, one of the responsibilities that I had, I don't know if people still do this, you know, you have your chores and then your parents give you allowance. I think I had chores, but I never got allowance. I think if I did get allowance, I got 25 cents. And I had like all these chores or whatever, and like, man, when I got a dollar, I was like, wow. I remember I saved up $11, like, man, I'm gonna go to the store and buy some Legos. And it took me forever to get that. And I was like, man, that's so precious, you know? But I'm thankful that my dad gave me that opportunity to work, and he taught me. I remember one time I cut the grass, and I'll never forget this. And, you know, I cut the grass, and, you know, I was little, I could barely, you know, push the thing, and I'm like, you know, pushing the lawnmower or whatever, and I cut the grass, and I missed this big old section, this little round section right there, and I remember my dad came out, and he checked it, and he's like, man, Nick, you missed this section right here. He's all, you know, man, if I was your employer, and I saw the job that you did, because I knew I missed that, and I was like, yeah, you'll probably miss it, you know, and he came out, of course, he didn't miss it. And he's like, man, if I was your employer, I'd probably fire you. And I was like, wow. You know, I never thought of it like that. And he helped me to understand, man, when you work, you know, it may not be something spiritual, but give your best regardless. And he taught me, you know, he would often tell me the story about my grandfather and his dad, and how his dad was very big on, man, give your best. Why? Because you're a grandee, okay? You're supposed to give your best because you're a grandee. And he would often mention that to me. And, you know, your name, it's who you are. And it's kind of that reputation thing there. But we understand, man, give your best. You ought to be motivated to give your best and work hard. Okay, regardless of where we work, we should work in a manner that God is magnified through our labor and testimony. Our job, our family, our ministry, our relationship to God. And as we close here, we looked at a bunch of things here. We talked about giving our best. We saw the consequences of those who gave and did not give their best to God. May we learn from their successes and their mistakes. You know, what is it? We can learn from others two different ways. We can learn from their mistakes. We can learn from their successes. Better to learn from people's mistakes than to learn from those mistakes yourself, yeah. Right? So as we look at God's word, I'm so thankful. Man, I don't know about you. Imagine having a book out there listing the good things you did, but the mistakes as well, okay? I can't imagine what the characters in the Bible feel about that, you know, as we read the stories about all their flaws. But I'm thankful God put those in there for me, because I'm not perfect. I have flaws. And when I look at that, it encourages me to know that I can keep going forward and I can continue to give my best. So may we learn from the successes and mistakes of those different examples that we looked at. There's many more. We understand that God desires our best. And we covered four practical areas to give our best: our relationship with God, our ministry, our family, our occupation. I understand these are so practical and these may seem a little mundane or whatever, but these are so important. Yeah. And I hope that we take a self-evaluation. Am I giving my best in these areas of my life? And it's such a challenge to me as I think about it. Let's be challenged to start, continue, or restart giving our best in these different areas or whatever the Lord may have spoke to your heart about. Let's go ahead and bow our heads, close your eyes. We're going to pray, and then we'll be dismissed in a moment here. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your time. Let's pray. Lord, we love you.